we wanted to set ourselves up for success, not failure. And that's almost unusual in entertainment.
Everybody, and welcome to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I am your host, Stacy.
And I'm Kaylee.
And here you are again, joining us like you do every week. Maybe you are listening to us in your car. Maybe you are listening to us while you're putting your makeup on in the morning. Or maybe you're listening to us in some headphones while you're trying to put your kids to sleep. I don't know. But I'm just glad you're here. So we are enjoying some wine tonight. It's been a long day. It's been a long week, right?
Yeah.
Kaylee's feeling a little tired.
I'm like, I'm drinking wine, kind of wish it was coffee, but I don't at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm conflicted.
Oh, she's going to have to push through that, right?
I know.
For this episode, for sure.
Tomorrow's Friday.
Tomorrow.
As we're recording.
Friday. We're recording on a Thursday. You'll be hearing this probably on a Wednesday, but you know, it's kind of my Friday. I'm going on a field trip tomorrow. I'm going to do some big time field tripping tomorrow with the kid, with my middle. We're going on a field trip to the Flywheelers Museum, which is an outdoor museum that is going to be an amazing time with some amazing weather and some amazing friends.
It will be. You should drink some coffee before, though.
Should I drink other things?
I mean, that's up to you. That's up to you.
So anyways, I mean, it's been a week for hustlers for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's been packed. What you been doing?
Well, I was on vacation, so that was really fun. I was in Florida with some girlfriends. We haven't taken a girls' trip in like half a decade, for real. So that was awesome. But then you get back from vacation, and that kind of sucks, you know. It's like, as much as I love my routine, I love getting back, I love my own bed.
Yeah, for
definitely.
Sure.
But the onslaught of email that I think this is like a universal problem, like in every workplace in the world. But the amount of email you come back to after vacation.
I'm not looking forward to it. I have double field trips. I have a field trip on Friday for Tala, my middle. And I have a field trip on Monday for Sai, my oldest. It's a field trip through my beloved hometown, Buchanan. So that's interesting. I might learn some stuff.
Guide that.
Right. So so that'll be fun. So I'm probably going to come back to about 536 emails on Tuesday.
Roughly.
Super looking forward to that. So,
but, you know, when you hustle, it's not all roses. But it's all worth it, right?
That's right.
So
that's right. And and you get to drink peach wine.
Yeah.
At the end of
that
the day.
Helps.
So that's what we're drinking. And as every week lately around here, our wine is donated either by a local winery or by one of our listeners. And so this week's wine was actually hand-delivered to my doorstep. And it was fantastic because I got home from a full day of watching baseball outside at the first baseball tournament of the year. And I arrived home and there was this package on my front step in a brown paper bag. You can't go wrong with that. So I pull up to the front step, open it up, and here, I'll be damned if there isn't a bottle of peach wine all the way from Florida. So a huge shout out to one of our listeners, Peggy Paderowski, who is visiting Michigan. She's originally from Michigan, originally from Buchanan, but has lived in Florida with her family and two babies for quite a while now. So as she returned, she brought Florida back with her, delivered it to my doorstep so that we can use it for our Hustlin' in Heels podcast tonight.
And I wish that you guys could see this bottle right now. There is a picture of it already on our Facebook, but it literally looks like Florida sunshine in a bottle.
It's beautiful.
Like, it's the most beautiful color of like golden.
It's good. So we are joined tonight by a rocker, by a musician. This is going to be our first time interviewing a musician, and she comes highly recommended by listener favorite Jen Tabor, owner of Soldier Guitar Straps, one of our first episodes. So she's a rocker chick. She is part of a duo band, Redhead Sibling Rockers, and their band is called White Mystery. And her name is Miss Alex White. So, Alex, what's up?
Greetings. How are you?
We're doing awesome. How are you tonight?
Good. I'm so flattered to be included on this podcast.
It's a cause and a theme that I hold very near and dear. And Jen from Soldier, who you mentioned, is a great gal pal of mine and also a powerhouse in the music industry and shapes the way we look on stage. So it's really cool to join you tonight.
Yeah, we appreciate you joining us. And you talk about her being a powerhouse in the music industry. And I believe that's kind of how she described you as well. So so you guys seem to be kindred spirits there. And I like the fact that you mentioned that this is kind of plays to one of your missions, female empowerment. And we'll get to that when we talk about where you are actually walking from right now. We'll talk about that a little while later. So Alex is coming to us actually from Chicago tonight. We love having her by phone interview. The only thing we're sad about is that she can't be enjoying this peach wine with us. So hopefully she'll be able to enjoy some later tonight after this recording.
Just like you mentioned, you know, your listeners might have heard some urban cityscape sounds a minute ago as I walked down the street. I'm in downtown Chicago. It's a beautiful sunny day and the L train is clattering above. And I'm on my way to go have some steaks next. So I might not have wine, but I'm definitely going to have a beer.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
We still support that. Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. I was sharing with Alex before we put our headphones on that I had the opportunity to enjoy a beer today outside. There's nothing like that first spring beer outside. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've been cooped up all winter long and now the sun's out and the patio furniture is out and you have just a nice, cold, crisp beer outside. I'm not sure there's much that beats that.
Mm-mm. I'm excited.
I know. And I enjoyed mine from Watermark Brewing. And that is a local establishment here in Southwest Michigan. And they do a great job. So shout out to Watermark. So let me provide our listeners with a little bit of an introduction and then we'll get into some questions for you. So if you look up at White Mystery Band, which is where you can find them on social platforms, White Mystery, it is a duo. So it's Alex and her brother. And according to their social sites, it's Alex and Francis Scott Key White. Is that his full name?
Yes, his name is Francis Scott Key White.
I love that.
It sounds so important to me.
It is important. And how appropriate that he would be. Yeah, how appropriate that he would be in the music industry for sure. Mm-hmm. So she's part of this sibling rock and roll duo. They're from Chicago, as you can probably guess, as she is walking through downtown Chicago right now. And one thing that kind of sets them apart, and as you follow them on social, it'll be probably one of the first things you notice, as I'm sure she'll be able to attest, they are redheads. They're both redheads. I have my middle girl is a redhead, so I have like a connection with you there. And they're sibling rockers, and they've been rocking out officially, right? The White Mystery Band since 2008.
Yeah, so we just celebrated our 10-year band anniversary, which we correlated with our 1,000th show on April 20th, 2018. So you know, just like a couple weeks ago. We played and also coincided with our ninth album release. So there's a lot of strategy and symbolism and thought that goes into this band for sure.
Yeah. So you talk about, so I guess we can jump into at least that part. You mentioned that this is your ninth album release. And then you had told me before we put the headphones on here that you release an album the same day every year, same date every year. Yeah.
Yep.
So what's the purpose behind that? What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, at first it started as a challenge, you know, to stay relevant. For a lot of bands, you're only as good as your most recent album. And since we chose music as being our career, we realized that we had to continually refresh our repertoire. A lot of your favorite bands that you listen to, sometimes it takes them 2 years, 4 years to release a new album. We're lucky because we're a brother and sister and we're creative partners. We're on the same wavelength. And it's exciting to, you know, continually produce and create. And since we're independent, we're self-managed. We book ourselves. We do all of our own licensing. I went to business school. I went to DePaul University. It's fun. It's fun to make stuff. And you can create your own schedule when you're an independent business owner. You don't have a manager saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, or this is the industry standard and the only way you can do it. We made our own standards, and one was to create a new album every year and to release it like clockwork. The same way people get really excited when Apple announces the new iPhone, we wanted there to be that kind of anticipation and expectation from our audience of what we were going to do.
I think that's great. The whole idea of staying relevant, absolutely, in the music industry, but also that anticipation, but your fans who follow you, they know that it's coming, and they're able to look forward to that as well, and that probably provides you with a pretty loyal fan base.
Yeah, and it also challenges us to continually up the ante. So after releasing the first three albums, we're like, you know what, we got to keep people on their toes. And we dropped an album called Double Dragon, which was a double album, and had an accompanying music video that was almost 15 minutes long called Double Dragon. But it's double, like double bubble, bubble gum.
Yeah.
So it's D-U-B-B-L-E, Dragon. And, you know, after we did that, we said, okay, well, now we've done a double album. What are we going to do? So we actually produced a feature-length psychedelic film called That Was Awesome that was in movie theaters and played at festivals. And we not only directed it, produced it, and wrote it, but we soundtracked it as well. So we're always trying to kind of push our mission for our organization, which is a band, which is to go where no band has gone before. And we take that very seriously as the guiding force. You know, so it's, you know, we put everything out on 420 every year, but what's it going to look like? How do we continually push the envelope on innovating the industry?
How long does that creative process take? And I'm assuming it's different for everything that you're releasing here, but is that a process that happens throughout the year, or do you guys have these ideas in the bank and you're thinking, all right, this is the year we're going to do this one?
Mm-hmm. It definitely flows. You know, having played 22 countries worldwide and 1,000 shows in this period of time, we're in the car a lot, we're on an airplane a lot, or in a train a lot. So what better way to use that time, those hours and hours of transportation, than brainstorming? Mm. You know, and sometimes you're really exhausted, and other times it's invigorating, and it kind of gets you through the day to do all of this brainstorming. So with the case of the movie, we had been thinking about it for 2 years, but we produced it over a one-year period. But there had been a lot of kind of like ideation before that poised us for, you know, doing so. We just released a 10-year anniversary box set, and that had been my vision since we started back in 2008, that I wanted to release a 10-year box set, because my brother and I had agreed that we would do this band for 10 years no matter what.
Hmm.
So in April of 2008, we made our handshake deal and said that we would remain independent for 10 years, and that April 20th, 2018 would be kind of like our guiding star date. And, you know, as a lot of your listeners and probably both of you can attest, time really flies.
Yeah.
I can't believe how quickly that went. It seems so far away. And now it's already in the past. You know, it's a couple of weeks behind us. So for the box set, you know, all of these albums that I'm describing that have come out annually, I would hold a box back. All the albums, you know, would sell out, but I would hold one box of that inventory back so that one day we could release this box set of all of our out-of-print albums. And we dropped that last month, and it sold out in less than 24 hours.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. So, and the thing is, it's like, you know, again, for a lot of your listeners out there, sometimes you do stuff because you're compelled to, and not really in the scientific marketing research way.
Sure.
You do it because you're compelled to do it. And that was the case with the box set. And I was kind of like, gosh, I wonder if people are going to care at all, or, you know, is this thing going to sell? It's kind of expensive. You know, who wants this thing? Especially having released so many different products that do well to varying degrees. You know, different t-shirts, you know, the purple sold better than the green, you know, stuff like that.
Sure.
So, you know, are people going to get this box set? And sure enough, it sold out, and I couldn't believe it.
That's amazing. So Circling back to the handshake deal with your brother, I have a brother, and I'm imagining what that a business deal might look like with my brother, and love him dearly. not sure it would last 10 years. So how have you, I mean, you guys obviously have a very good working relationship, and to not only work, but then still be creative together and produce new content. So talk about that a little bit.
You know, I would definitely attribute most of my success and our success to our mother, who was also a very strong, creative, disciplined, self-employed person. Definitely later in her career, she started off as the photographer at the Field Museum, doing cultural artifacts and stuff like that, and then went off on her own at the same time that our dad, who's an attorney, went off on his own. So we had two parents who chose to be self-employed, but they raised us to be very close and to resolve our whatever the qualms might be quickly. And I definitely feel like, you know, also the work ethic and all those things that our parents imparted in us was definitely a really strong example that also reduced the fear of doing what we were about to do, because our parents had demonstrated to us that it was possible through their actions. And, you know, our mom raised us to be very close, and we're Greek. So we were going to, you know, despite the red hair, we're curly, redheaded Greeks. So we were going to Greek school and Sunday school and just constantly occupied our time, you know, and being challenged and inspired and that kind of thing. And that really drove us to not only be close, but to have like a similar work ethic. Yeah. So my brother Francis is very easygoing and very easy to get along with. And fortunately, we have different strengths and weaknesses that really in balance benefited the band very much.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that balance is important. If you were exactly the same, then that would probably pose its own challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So when did this start? When did you both start playing music together?
Little tiny kids.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 5 and 3 years old going to piano lessons. And did that. Always loved music, loved rock and roll. Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, Tina Turner, all of the awesome classic rock that my parents were listening to, you know, in the living room on the stereo, definitely influenced me. And then when I was a preteen, I started playing electric guitar and very quickly started playing in bands. Growing up in the city, I'm from the city of Chicago, so I'm a city girl and I went to Chicago Public Schools. And not long after that, you know, wanted to start distributing that music. So we started duping our own tape cassettes. That evolved into releasing vinyl records. So I started a record label when I was in high school. And that's what really inspired me to pursue entrepreneurship on the college level, was the concept of owning your creativity, but also finding means to distribute it. So you're not waiting for that record deal to come through or your big break. You're making the break for yourself. And I've been riding that wave for a very long time.
Yeah. So do you feel like your college experience is what prepared you for that? Or was it more of a combination mixture of having that example at home and then combined with the education that you received?
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed college. I loved learning about business. I was tempted to go to school for visual art or music just because that was my forte, but I realized that I really wanted to strengthen my business acumen and understand the science behind it. I was very, very inspired when I was in school, and that's why I mentor a lot of college students this day. So I've had about 40 college interns in the last 10 years for White Mystery. And I love these kids. They're fantastic and they're brilliant. It's so cool to meet with them and also watch their growth over time and see them learn things, especially about the music industry, which can be very difficult to break into depending on who you know. It's all about who you know. And I'm happy to be kind of a conduit for a lot of these brilliant kids to get acquainted with the music industry and also place them in jobs once they graduate. So I just left a mentor session from DePaul with a gal who was, you know, explaining her startup idea. And I really feel like the band did well because we approached it as a startup. We were inspired and we love music, but we also kind of looked at it through a lens of how to make it successful over time and also make it our careers. And that approach made it come alive.
So how so? Expand upon that a little bit.
So for instance, you know, when we're putting an album out, I'm making a budget for it. I'm not trying to exceed how much money we have available. We've never done a Kickstarter or taken out a business loan or anything. We kind of started slow. So, you know, we bootstrapped our business. So we started by playing a lot of shows and saving every penny from those shows, you know, $50 here, $100 there, putting it in a pool, in a bucket. And then we say, okay, let's put out a CD with what we have available and save those profits. Okay, now we have enough money to put out our first album. Let's do that in a cost-effective way so that there's something left over at the end. And the music industry is kind of notorious for excess. So, you know, a lot of bands don't break even, or they lose money, or they don't know what to do with this product. But we're looking at it in a way of how do we keep rolling the returns into future projects. And I'm not sure that that's a very common approach in the music industry, where major labels are kind of like, okay, well, one out of 25 of these bands that we sign is going to become successful, and that's going to bankroll the excess of all these projects. We kind of looked at it more in an entrepreneurial way, where we wanted to survive and see this project come alive. We wanted to set ourselves up for success, not failure. And that's almost unusual in entertainment.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, and to take that entrepreneurial approach, are you viewed kind of as a novelty then in the music industry? Or, you know, do people seek you out? I know you've had interns, but do other musicians seek you out for advice as to how to run your business?
Well, I served as the vice president of the Recording Academy, which awards the Grammys for 2 terms, based on the fact that I had business experience as well as a creative acumen. So I wouldn't say we're a novelty, but I think we're an anomaly in the music industry. And I speak on a lot of panels, and now I organize them so that I can kind of try to, you know, some people are turned off by the kind of education and academic approach in music. For me, I find it exciting. And there's a lot of other people that do too, because, you know, it's the 21st century, baby. It's very different than back in the late 60s. You know, I'm not looking to someone else to create success for me. I'm trying to do that for myself and for my family. And you can do that by being kind of frugal, so that you actually have some cash to work with and see your projects come alive. So for instance, when we were putting out this feature length film, made it for $5,000. That's like unheard of.
Right.
An independent film. Like, usually an independent small film needs $150,000 minimum to come out for kind of a crappy product. You know, by really thinking things through and being innovative, and also building really, really positive relationships in the industry, you can make things come alive.
That's fascinating, because I think that whether it's you're a painter, you're a seamstress, you're a musician, I would venture to say that many artists do not view their art as a business the way that that White Mystery Band does. So that's so interesting to me.
And I'm sure that that's why you're asked to speak with and to mentor female MBA students, because this is a model that could be utilized for multiple industries, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you could scale this across different industries, just about smart finances and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the whole idea of bootstrapping your business. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you were a startup, but a startup that without a venture capitalist supporting you,
right?
In which you had to hustle and get out there and make things work for yourself. How did you do that? And was that difficult in the beginning years? I'm assuming this was your full-time gig.
Yes, it absolutely was difficult at the beginning. And especially, like, you could say, you know, for instance, in business as well, you know, you might be scratching two little pennies together and trying to squirt out a nickel on one end. And then there's other bands that have gotten huge contracts and are running circles around you. And of course, you're kind of like sometimes frustrated by how slow that growth is at the beginning, but it's a way better long-term strategy if you want it to be your career. So there's plenty of bands out there that are, have big time agents and big press, and probably a lot of people who are listening right now have never heard of our band, but here we are. It's our job. We get to play music professionally around the world. We get paid to party, basically, you know.
Sounds awesome.
We follow you on Insta. I know you do.
Yeah. You know, and we've played on late night television, you know, many times, and been in Sundance films and modeled for Levi's, where we were the face of Levi's jeans, and on billboards and, you know, enormous ad campaign. And that was all just kind of, you know, it comes to you. And what I really advise a lot of people across industries is that you can't be afraid to suffer a little bit at the beginning and throughout your experience. But, you know, nothing really comes that easily. And there's a lot of times where you do want to give up. And I think that that was one of the advantages of Francis, my brother, and I making this handshake deal and saying, we're going to do this no matter what, because there are so many points that you're so frustrated with either failure or how slowly things are going. You just have to have the confidence in your vision that it will one day come together. And no matter what industry you're in or what your style of art is, whether you're a painter or an illustrator or, you know, a dental assistant or whatever it is that you do, if you have a strong vision, you will eventually get people on board with it.
I love that you said that, Alex, because, you know, Kaylee and I jumped back in January into this project of this podcast as something that we wanted to do for a while. And we're growing our tribe authentically, you know, and we thought that, I mean, I'll be honest with you and with our listeners, we thought that we're used to succeeding, right? In life, we're hustlers. We work in PR and marketing. We know how to do this. Mm-hmm. We thought, you know, it would be top of the charts overnight. It's not. However, what we've learned is if we keep putting out a consistent product and we have well, I'm going to use your words, confidence in our vision. And our vision was really, yes, to do a podcast, but also to create this tribe of women who would lift each other up and support each other each week and really celebrate women who are out there working it, but also lifting other women up and being inclusive versus exclusive. If we have confidence in that vision, despite the setbacks, despite not being overnight, you know, smash success, we're growing it authentically, and we have this tribe that is following us that we love. You know, I love that you said that, because it's easy to get frustrated if what you think is going to happen isn't necessarily happening as fast as you think it was going to.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we're in a land and a world and an era that micro subcultures actually do very well, and micro markets drive the economy. So you can do very well and be small. You know, the whole 80-20 rule kind of thing, even if you only have 20% of the market, that might be, you know, 80% of whatever's going on. You know, like, the thing is we have really good fan retention. We love our fans. And that box set that I was talking about, that sold out because of people who have been believing in us for 10 years within that span of time. And that's extremely valuable versus 10 million people buying some crappy keychain that we put out. You know, it's sometimes there's a lot of value in being small. And, you know, you just kind of have to organically grow that, because you can only really bite off what you can chew. And I think that sometimes in venture capital, the failure of these startups is because it balloons a little too quickly. And mismanagement occurs when you have a little too much cash and too many employees. not to say that that's the case for everybody, though it is the case in a lot of what I have seen in the business land and startup land.
Yeah, and maybe a lot of excitement out of the gate doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily translate to long-term investment into something.
Yeah, so, you know, it's okay to suffer. It's okay to be small. You just kind of have to stick with it, and eventually, you know, it's like there's bands like Fish, for instance, which we sound nothing like, but they're a good example of what a huge audience they have accrued of die-hard fans because they've stuck with it for so many years, and now they're like a multi-generational band where
yep.
their fans have probably grandchildren at this point. So anyway, I think you just kind of got to do what you love and then just be frugal so that you're not overspending and setting yourself up for economic failure. When you can do things smartly, you know, it's the internet, you can do research on how to do things in a way that you can afford. At least we have.
Yeah, I think that circles back to what you have, how others have described you. And I pulled this quote just because I loved it. It describes you as jovial rock and roll delivery and DIY sensibility. So,
yeah.
I mean, have you ever heard a rock band described as DIY sensibility? Because I have not, and I loved it. Loved it. I mean, that speaks to what you've been preaching here and the fact that you can do this yourself, but you just got to work mm-hmm. for it, and you got to put the work in. You got to be willing to do that, and you've got to be willing to take the good with the bad when it comes to being independent.
Yeah, and you know, that quote, I love that you pulled, that was from Pitchfork, and Pitchfork is a huge, huge press organization. That's kind of like a Kanye worship sort of website. So for them to say something like that about us is very meaningful and relevant on a large scale. You know, it's not just a tiny blog, but it is, you know, like an organization of some repute making that sort of comment. So it is very interesting. And I think that what has also been super fun, just in terms of relationship building over time and how important that is, you know, building relationships over time, positive, productive relationships with people in whatever your industry is, it's so meaningful in a long-term vision sort of way, where the people that you started with when you're both teeny tiny trying to figure out what you're doing, like you ladies, you know, trying to figure out your podcast, you know, in 10 years, you're going to be somewhere very different. And those relationships are really going to, you know, shape your path. And probably the worst advice my mom has ever given me, you know, when I've done something embarrassing, is, don't worry, honey, you're never going to see these people again. You know, you know, like if you trip and fall
sure.
or whatever it is in front of like a big group of people, the reality is you are going to see these people again.
Yeah.
And you need to be aware of that in the way that you conduct yourself, that it's always in a very positive way. Because in 10 years, when you bump into them on the street and they're like, hey, you know, gals, we just started this big radio company and we're licensing podcasts, like back episodes. Do you guys have any archives that you'd want to do? You'd say, yes, we do. You know, that's kind of what I mean. And definitely I would attribute a lot of our success due to all of the wonderful people and wonderful fans who have believed in us in this period of time and have really opened up a lot of opportunities and a lot of doors for us.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that in this leadership course I've been in, they talk about, you know, building your legacy right from day one, you know, that long-term uh-huh. legacy and thinking about that when you're in your 20s and your 30s, what do you want people saying about you when you're in your 60s and 70s, you know, and that mm-hmm. plays a role not only personally, but professionally. So I think that's great advice to all the hustlers listening out there. I know you got to get to your steak dinner, so I don't want to keep you much longer, but I did want to give you the opportunity because I know that after listening to you, our listeners are going to want to hear more about you. So I wanted to give you the opportunity sure. to talk a little bit about, I know you have a new album out, and then where can we find yeah. you?
And in fact, you know, if you wanted to play one of the songs off of Hellion Blender on your podcast, you're welcome to. You have my permission to do
Thank
so.
You for that.
off of our podcast. I love the song Boy Next Door that's out on the new album. There's a great song that totally relates to this entire conversation. There's a song called Penny Saved that was advice that Shirley Manson from Garbage gave to my brother and I, because we played with Garbage quite a few times, where she was like, you know, every experience and everything you do is a penny in the bank. And I was like, that is so poignant. I love that, you know?
I love it.
So she's a great influence. And for those of your listeners who want to hear more or learn more, you can look up whitemystery.com. White Mystery, like the candy flavor, which is what inspired our band name. We're White Mystery Band on Instagram, so you can follow our hijinks and see us possibly in whatever town that you're listening from, because we travel quite a bit. And if you go on YouTube, I've done a lot of inspirational talks to high schools and colleges and other groups. So if you look up Miss Alex White, which is what I go by because I have another friend with red hair named Alex White, who's a male. he started a very successful .com called Next Big Sound, which follows analytics and does reporting on the music industry. So he's Alex White and I'm Miss Alex White.
Oh, that makes sense. Why that is on your social. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, so anyone who's looking for me, and honestly, I answer all of the messages that come through on the White Mystery Facebook and through the website, whitemystery.com. So if anyone had any follow-up questions, that's a really good way to find me.
Perfect. And you were very receptive to our messages. I know you're a hustler. You're a busy woman. So I do want to tell you that I appreciate you coming on this podcast and taking the time to speak with us. I think what you had to say is valuable and relevant to all of our listeners, regardless of what industry they're hustling in. The lessons that you've imparted just in this, 30 to 40 minute session, I think are going to be well received. So we appreciate your time. We will absolutely link your album and your songs and play some of that Penny Saved. I love that.
Yeah, right. Totally relates, doesn't it?
Totally relates. You have quite a few albums out there. They can find you on Spotify. They can find you on iTunes. They can find you everywhere, right?
Yeah, Spotify, Bandcamp, iTunes, any sort of platform, YouTube, etc. You can find a lot of White Mystery music out there. We've even made songs that have become kind of feminist anthoms.
One
was called
Good
Girl. Some people might have heard it on MTV, that kind of thing. And I want to thank you both for the theme and the encouragement and the dialogue that you're creating on your podcast, because just my entire day has been filled with, and last couple of weeks and months have been kind of filled with conversations like this. So I think we're onto something.
I think we are. I would tend to agree with you. And we were, just so you know, we were rocking out to Good Girl before we called you in the studio. So we're fans of that feminist anthem. So we appreciate, enjoy your steak dinner tonight. We hope to talk with you again at some point.
Cool.
Awesome.
And adios to all your listeners. Keep rocking out there.
All right. Love it. Thanks.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us again this week. As you do every week, we appreciate your commitment to raising women up. And we know that you are learning right along with us. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode as much as we did. Make sure that you are following us on social platforms so you can keep up with our hijinks as well. And subscribing to us on iTunes, sharing us with your friends, with your fellow hustlers. We also know that there are quite a few male listeners. In fact, more than I thought there would be. And many of you that are connecting with us on social. So we appreciate that. Keep it up. We welcome anyone to our tribe, regardless of what type of shoes you're wearing. And we appreciate the support by our male listeners. We kind of love it.
Mm-hmm. Who would have thought?
Who would have thunk it? So anyways, we had a great conversation. Hope that you guys enjoy it, and hope you join us again next week. See you later, hustlers.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacey Carlin and Kaylee Gaines, and all views and opinions expressed on the shows are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Kaylee on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. And you can also send the show an email to letschat@hihpod.com. Feel free to write into the ladies if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. If you've got a question, comment, or to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all we have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for our next episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.